For a man warning of a coming apocalypse, Matthew Simmons was surprisingly cheerful. Simmons is the prosperous founder of a niche investment firm that specializes in mergers and acquisitions in the energy sector, a graduate of Harvard Business School, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, a frequent flyer on corporate jets, an advisor to George W. Bush during his first presidential campaign, and a best-selling author. Simmons would be a card-carrying multimillionaire member of the global oil nomenclatura if cards were issued for such things. But his wonderful life has a cloud, which consists of his belief that the American dream and the world as we know it are on the verge of falling apart. "If it turns out I am wrong, I will be the happiest guy in the world," Simmons told me. Despite his dire prediction, he retained a mischievous demeanor. We met during a trip he made to Manhattan to talk to a group of oil shipping executives. The impression he gave was of an enthusiastic inventor sharing a discovery, the coming apocalypse, that had taken him by surprise. He had a wide-eyed wonder in his regard, as if a bit of mystery could be found in everything that caught his eye. Whether he was saying the sky was blue or that it was falling, he emitted a happy wink. His journey into the apocalypse began innocently enough. In 2003, Simmons visited Saudi Arabia on a government-sponsored tour for business executives. The group was presented with the usual dog and pony show, but instead of being impressed with the size and expertise of the kingdom's oil industry, Simmons became perplexed. A senior manager at Saudi Aramco, the state-owned oil company, told the visitors that fuzzy logic was used to estimate the oil that could be recovered from the country's reservoirs. Simmons wondered what could be fuzzy about the contents of an oil reservoir. He realized that Aramco, despite its assurances of bottomless supplies, might not know how much oil remained. He returned home with an intellectual itch. Saudi Arabia was one of the charter members of OPEC, an organization founded in 1960 to coordinate the policies of the major oil producers. Like every OPEC member, Saudi Arabia provides only general numbers about its output and reserves. It does not release details of how much oil is extracted from each reservoir, or what methods are used to extract that oil, or how much water emerges with the oil, and it does not permit outside audits or inspections. The condition of Saudi fields, like the condition of almost all OPEC fields, is a closely guarded secret. That's partly because the cartel's production quotas, which keep oil off the market to avoid gluts that drive down prices, are based on each country's reserves. The larger an OPEC member's reserves, the higher its quota. Most, if not all, OPEC members have exaggerated the size of their reserves to have the largest possible quota, and thus the largest possible revenues. During the decades of low prices and overabundant supplies, oilmen like Simmons did not care about OPEC's fudged numbers. Whether or not OPEC reserves were hyped, whether or not the cartel's fields were nearing a midlife crisis, plenty of crude was coming out of the ground. Only a boycott or a war could squeeze supplies, it seemed, and only for a short time. But while visiting Saudi Arabia in 2003, when the price of a barrel was around $30 and rising, thanks in part to China's emergence as a voracious importer, Simmons asked himself whether something might be amiss. Perhaps the world didn't have as much oil as was thought. As a teenager, Simmons had been on a high school debate team that reached the state championships, and from that experience, he'd learned the importance of possessing information, of knowing his subject. He has never been a fan of fuzzy logic or fuzzy anything. He likes hard data. He wanted to know, to truly know, what was happening in Saudi fields. How many wells were drilled into them? How much oil each well produced? Which recovery methods were used, and the trend line of output since the wells had been opened. It was a mystery crafted for his curious mind. After returning home and immersing himself into the minutiae of oil geology, Simmons realized that the uncollated data might be found in the neglected research of the Society of Petroleum Engineers. Oil engineers, like most professionals, have regular conferences at which they present obscure papers that delve into the work they do. Technical and detailed, the papers are debated at the conferences, published by the SPE in a little red journal, and then forgotten. Simmons realized that the answers were hiding in plain sight. He found more than 200 papers that no one had pulled together into a meta-analysis, though they covered only portions of the kingdom's wells, and some of them were several decades old. They contained useful data about the condition of the fields. 2 months before we met in New York City, Simmons had shocked the oil world by publishing a book, Twilight in the Desert, in which he said, "The geological phenomena and natural driving forces that created the Saudi oil miracle are conspiring now in normal and predictable ways to bring it to its conclusion, in a time frame potentially far shorter than officialdom would have us believe. Saudi Arabia clearly seems to be nearing or at its peak output and cannot materially grow its oil production." The denunciations arrived by the supertanker. Saudi officials described Simmons as deluded. Daniel Yergin, the closest thing the oil world has to a guru, treated Simmons as a naive, over-caffeinated student, jumping out of his seat to insist that the professor is wrong. The professor patted the student on the shoulder and kindly asked him to sit back down. Between Simmons' trip to Saudi Arabia and the publication of his book 2 years later in 2005, the price of oil had nearly doubled. When we met at that time, Simmons had a look of mischief on his face, even though he was saying the world might be headed toward disaster.